Hello and welcome to Single to Soulmate. I'm Tanya Alberti, spiritual teacher, channel and medium for spirit, and soul-aligned relationships coach and mentor to men, women, and couples who are looking to have rockin' relationships both in and out of the bedroom. I do this by helping you heal the pain of your past, connect to your intuitive awareness, and align with your own soul, thus stepping into the best and highest version of yourself in order to attract that one-of-a-kind soulmate love that you're longing for. Hey, and welcome back again. Thank you so much for being here. Today's episode, Prove That You Love Me, is really about insecurity in relationships. And ultimately, it boils down to an insecure attachment style. A lot of people have attachment issues causing insecurity based on not being felt like they were getting enough love in their childhood, or for whatever various reasons, they have attachment wounds from childhood or other experiences that cause them to learn to believe that. However, this episode is all about kind of how that presents itself in your relationships and then what to do to work on that within yourself. And if it's your partner that you're noticing this in, there are things to look for there as well. So I hope you enjoy the episode. My name is Tanya Alberti. I am essentially what I do. I wear a lot of hats, but essentially what I do is help people heal the pain of their past in order to manifest their soulmate. And I deal with a lot of relationships. I am a relationship counselor, coach. I'm a spiritual guide and mentor. I'm a medium and a channel for spirit. And I do a lot of things energetically to help people clear out things, whether it's past life trauma, in between life issues, what have you. I'm a certified hypnotherapist, and I have a lot of modalities that I use in order to help people heal and know what it is that they desire in order to attract that relationship that they really, really want. So that's a little bit about me. Erica, why don't you introduce yourself and talk about what you do?
Hi, I'm Erica. I'm a rapid transformation expert, and I deal a lot of twin flames and the starseed as my client. So I help them to realize who they are and help them to walk on the highest, most optimum timeline.
Beautiful. Yeah. So today I wanted to talk about something I think is really important, and I think it's kind of pervasive and people don't realize it so much. This used to be me. I was the kind of person that was like, I need you to constantly reinforce and tell me that you love me. And many of my clients that I've worked with are the same way. And I think it's interesting that insecurity in relationships ultimately boils down to your own feelings of self-worth. It's really born out of a sense and a lack of self-confidence and a feeling of inadequacy. And I really think that, you know, as we talk about insecurity in relationships, I think it's important to realize that ultimately it begins with you. And if you're not the one that's the insecure person, and maybe it's your partner, we're going to talk about that as well and how to manage that. But what I find is that as I have experienced life and as I have grown older and had, you know, multiple different experiences and relationships, I find that we are so often programmed with this sense of unworthiness and this sense of not being enough. And I think that spills over into our relationships. So in romantic relationships, insecurity, which is essentially that feeling of unworthiness and not enoughness, but that insecurity drives certain behaviors. And the way I have seen it show up in my clients, because I work not only with single people, but with couples as well. And what I have noticed is there are particular signs that indicate that someone has an issue with insecurity. And a couple of these things are things like constantly checking up on their partner. So like if they're not with them, they're constantly checking, like, where are you? What are you doing? Who are you with? And they almost have like this intense drive to verify where that person is, right? Because deep down, they don't trust them, right? So that's another thing, not trusting your partner, not trusting them to be faithful to you, constantly worrying that they're cheating on you or that they're doing something that they say they're not, you know, like there's all this thought of around deception, right? Feeling like they're intentionally deceiving you. So I know people that I've worked with in the past who are like, they want to know 24/7 where their partner is, what they're doing, what they're involved in, where they're at, when they're going to be home. It's one thing to be like, okay, when are you going to be home so I can make dinner and so I can plan my evening? But it's entirely different when you're like 24/7, who are you with? Who are you talking to? I saw your post on Facebook. So what does that mean? Where are you? Are you really are where you say you are? You know, when it gets excessive like that, clearly that's an issue with insecurity. So, Erica, I'd love to know your thoughts on this.
Yes. That is definitely insecurity and also a controlling personality. I personally stay far away from people like that, especially in the relationship, because I do have mom who is extremely controlling, so I can catch miles away. Like when somebody doesn't, let's say, when you're dating with someone, or maybe that might be you, and then if you don't get text messaging right away, or whatever, right, messaging, and then you get super nervous and they start like sending like 5 different text messages to say, you know, it's not why aren't you answering, but something insinuating stuff like that. And when person is acting like that, or if you are acting like that, it doesn't really give advantage for you to be in the relationship, because it automatically, like if you do that kind of behavior, automatically makes a guy leave or wants to get away from you, because that is like he feels like he's not free, you know, and constantly checking on what are you doing or how come you're not answering, sounding a lot like his mom, even though you are not acting like, you know, mother. But that's how I see it, even though, you know, I go out with a guy, not a girl. But, you know, it's like very suffocating. So when you give that kind of suffocating behavior in the beginning, you won't be the last one who he wants to spend time with. He never wants to marry you. And if you happen to have that kind of personality, it's very important to fix that. Because even you are smart enough to hide that personality until you get married to him, you know, you can hide it forever. And then your personality peaks, you know, up. Like when you get married or after you get married, then your relationship won't be healthy and the relationship won't be as happy as when you somehow manage to not to show that part of the personality. So when you're confident, you don't really concern what he's doing or how come he's not answering you certain period of time you feel secure about, Of course, if your guy is not answering you for 2 weeks, that's something you got to think about whether you want to be with this person or not. But usually person do respond to you if you're important enough in reasonable amount of time. It might not be the time you wanted to get the message from, but reasonable amount of time. So when you are insecure, you know, it's not a really great idea to get into relationship to begin with. It's very important to do self-development and be healthy and stable enough to be on your own before you're demanding other person's time or how come this person is not acting the way I wanted this person to react.
Yeah, exactly. And I couldn't agree more. And that's the thing. I mean, when we have issues, and I really firmly believe, I don't care how you show up in the world, I really believe that every single person on this planet has issues at some way, in some way, shape, or form with unworthiness and that sense of I'm not good enough, because we are programmed. We are 100% programmed to believe that we are not enough, we're not good enough, or whatever. So it shows up in a variety of ways when it comes to our relationships. So just like Eric was saying, being super jealous, whether it's jealous of like every single woman, like say you're a woman in your relationship with a man, and any woman that interacts with your boyfriend or husband or whatever, you're suspicious of. So being jealous of every single person in their life, resenting them, resenting the people they're close to, not taking your partner at their word, wanting to verify every single thing they tell you, like you don't believe them. So like say they are out with their friends and they're out having a good time, whatever, it's a weekend and they're out, maybe they're out at a bar or whatever. And you're going to question every single thing that they did and not believe them. Like, say they got home a little bit late and you're like, oh, well, I know for sure that you were screwing around on me. Or I know for sure that you were out, like, I don't know, at a strip club, whatever. But you're not taking them at their word. They're saying, oh, no, you know, we, you know, maybe ran out of gas or ran out of flat tire or we got talking or whatever. You don't believe them. That's an issue with insecurity. Feeling like your partner is going to break up with you at any moment in time. So you're constantly like, are you sure you love me? Are you sure you want to be with me? Are you sure? Are you sure? Are you sure? And needing that validation, needing that constant validation, or maybe it's constant compliments. You know, validate me, tell me I'm pretty, tell me you love me, tell me I'm enough. All of these things are signs of deep, deep-seated insecurity. And I know a lot of people like this, and I recognize it because I used to be like that. I used to be like that. Like any relationship I was in, I was constantly like, you know, please tell me I'm enough. Whether it's we're going to go out for the weekend, so I'm going to wear this certain outfit. And if you don't, like, compliment me enough or tell me I look good or tell me I look pretty, I would be stressed out. And it would like really seriously stress me out because I'm thinking, oh, well, I don't look good enough or they're going to want to be with somebody else or what's wrong with me? And all these things are going on in my head. So it's a huge issue. So if you find whether it's your partner or whether it's you, if you find yourself where you're constantly fishing for compliments, you're constantly seeking validation, you're constantly worried that your partner's going to break up with you, that is something you need to address within yourself, okay? That is insecurity. And there's an issue going on there, and that's something you need to look at.
Yeah, definitely. So when you are insecure, the relationship always gets unstable. Not because something is wrong in the relationship or your partner is like inadequate, but A lot of times when you are insecure, you bring into unnecessary turbulence or unnecessary problem or unnecessary worry, which might not be existed to begin with, when you are not really worried or insecure about, oh, is he seeing this another woman, or is he going to dump me and then I'm going to be alone? So there's a psychology term called self-fulfillment philosophy. So when you believe in strongly that you might be dumped by your partner, that is what going to happen, because your behavior will be dictated by your belief. And then I did go out with this person, and then he told me about the reason of why he got divorced, and this was extremely interesting to me. And this person was telling me his wife was constantly worried about the state of their relationship, even though they're married. And she constantly told him, you're gonna divorce me, you're gonna divorce me. And then every single time he had to tell her, no, I'm not gonna divorce you. But after 7 years, this gave the trigger to say, okay, this is enough, I'm divorcing you. And then he was never thought about divorcing his wife to begin with, but every single time something happened in the marriage, like challenge or something, then she end up making the comment like that, and then he got tired of validating and then giving his wife to feel secure about whatever she's imagining about. So it really doesn't put you into a good position when you are the one who is stating the ending of the relationship or ending of the marriage or something like that, because you are the one who is creating the reality. And then when you keep on repeating, you are in a way self-hypnotizing yourself. Even though you might be just saying it to get attention, when you repeat enough time, it will become strong truth subconsciously within your mind. So this is not a really healthy practice either. I can relate, not to relate about you are going to dump me part, but I can relate about the partner is somehow, excuse me, going to break up with you kind of fear. I did have this fear when I was 18. And then there was no reason for him to break up with me. But I did have this fear because of my personal experience with my dad. He died. So I wasn't really cured about that part. So somehow all of a sudden something is not going to work out and they somehow he'll leave. So I did have a fear, which I overcame. But because I was constantly worrying about him leaving, of course, he ended up leaving me, you know. That is completely understanding experience. You know, a lot of people might feel, especially when you're young, because you might not going through enough relationship that some person will stick with you no matter what, thick or thin, because this person loves you, you know. You only went through a few relationships. You don't know. You don't have enough relationship to compare. It's not like, okay, once or twice you screw up or you said something wrong thing and then this person gonna leave. It's not gonna work like that. But you don't know that because either you didn't go through enough relationship or you haven't really met someone who's gonna go through no matter what is happening with you.
Yeah, no, and that's exactly true. And I just want to talk about, there is an impact to your own well-being when it comes to your own sense of self, right? Your own sense of who I am. Who am I in the world? Who am I in my relationships? And that sense of insecurity has a lot of effect on many things, you know, not just your relationships, but mental health and your sense of awareness in the world. So I think when it comes to that being insecure, and I'm speaking to people who struggle with their own sense of insecurity, like I myself did. So I think it's really important. There is a study that's been done. I believe the person was Romanoff. I can't remember exactly where it was published, but there are some strategies that this person Romanoff suggested. There's some strategies that help you cope with and feel more secure in your relationships. And this is outside of like things that I ordinarily recommend, you know, when it comes to looking at your past traumas, looking at and understanding your story, looking at past life experiences. I mean, there's a whole lot of spiritual things we could get into. And those are kind of like the things that I deal with. But I think on a practical perspective, it's a good idea to look at, okay, what can I do right now to reduce my level of insecurity? And I think for one, it's really important to be aware of your triggers. What triggers you? What causes you to react? What causes you to become upset in the moment? You know, and I've seen this in my clients time and time again. You know, they'll be like, oh, well, this person did this, this, and this. I'm like, okay, well, what about that situation triggered you? Why do you feel that way? Why are you upset about that? Because it may be valid. It may be irrational, but unless you look at what triggered you, you're never going to know. So be self-aware. Self-awareness is so important, and I cannot stress this enough. So become more self-aware about situations that trigger you. Look at the things, like whether it's a certain situation or whether it's a topic or an area that promotes feelings of insecurity in you, so you can begin to identify what problems you need to work on. And that's the thing that I find more often than not, especially when I'm working with couples, that they come to me and they're like, well, they need to change this. They need to do this. My partner needs to do this. They need to change that. And it's not true. Ultimately, what boils down to is what is going on inside of you that is making that an issue. And it may very well be, I mean, obviously, if somebody is, you know, abusive or narcissist or something like that. But I mean, when it comes down to it, a lot of times, I have to say like at least 80% of the time, it has to do with the individual person. And they're being super insecure and they're being triggered and they have absolutely zero awareness around that. So, I mean, when it comes to triggers and trauma and things like that, it's important to look within, look at yourself. Where am I being exceptionally super sensitive? You know, maybe this is something that's bothering me. Is this realistic? Is there something going on? You know, what in my experience, in my past experience, has caused me to be super sensitive about something? And the next thing would be to be communicative. Really communicate with your partner. Engage in open communication about what it is that you're insecure about. You know, how did that even arise within you? You know, what experiences have you had in the past? What has led you to feel this way? As long as you can be open and honest with the person you're in a relationship with, it goes like leaps and bounds. It, for them to be able to understand you. You know, if they can know where you're coming from, it makes a huge difference. So express how you feel. Share your feelings with your partner. Don't blame them and be like, well, you did this and that's why I feel this way. No, you are always responsible for how you feel. Your partner, your romantic relationship is not responsible for making you feel a certain way. 99.99% of the time, you are reacting based on your programming, based on your story, based on your experiences. So how much of that has played into your reaction of whatever it is that's transpired. And maybe it's valid, maybe it's not. It's something you need to evaluate and take a good look at. You know what I mean? So listen, observe, you know, be open, be aware. Self-awareness, I can't even express how important self-awareness is.
Yes, self-awareness is extremely important indeed. Because unless you know what you're doing or why you're acting like that or reacting like that, there's no way to fix it. A lot of times, you know, sometimes I see clients says, oh, he did that. Or if he doesn't do this way or that way, or it's his fault he did this and that. You know, if as long as you're blaming other party, unless this person is extremely toxic or something, I'm talking about normal relationship, there's always at least a half of the percentage you're responsible about when something happens. So when you are aware of why you are reacting toward whatever he says or he does or he doesn't, and then find out why or how you can minimize your reaction, then your relationship will be a lot smoother, a lot happier. And I'm not saying, you know, you got to do self-development until you become 100% perfect. You shouldn't be in the relationship, and not like that. But when one party is extremely, like, reacting extremely insecure manner, there is no way to have a relationship, because that can be toxic and that won't serve anyone, you know. And eventually you will learn, if you are acting in a certain way, the other person will leave. The person won't be sticking around that long. So if you are aware of why you're acting in certain kind of situation, maybe you can bring up the conversation that, you know, in when you say something like that, like certain phrases, I did experience really bad relationship in the past and this triggers me. So if you communicate why you're reacting this way or that way to, and inform to your partner, then maybe two of you can manage the situation in more harmonious manner. So being aware, and then if you're aware, you can communicate with your partner in an effective manner how to resolve the situation as well.
Yeah, exactly. And I think the main takeaway from this conversation, and I think it seems to me that feelings of insecurity are always based in the fact that either we're not meeting a certain expectation, we've either had experiences where we've been rejected, whether it's from our parents, whether it's from friends, whether it's from particular love interest in our past, we don't get that sense of achievement that we desire. So the real basis of insecurity is ultimately a lack of self-esteem. So we project an image of confidence, but deep down inside, we believe that we don't deserve love. And we sabotage ourselves. We sabotage our relationships. So what does insecurity mean really? You know, where do those feelings come from? The truth is that all feelings of insecurity are a result of limiting beliefs or the stories that we tell ourselves about who we are and the type of life that we deserve. So if we have to earn love as a child, you know, by being perfect or by accomplishing things or by achieving things or by being a certain way, if we don't feel that we earned love by just existing, that we had to do something to earn it, then we're left with a sense of loss and abandonment, and those feelings carry over into adulthood. And it's whether you realize it or not, all of that boils into of insecurity in our relationships, because nobody feels completely certain in the relationship at all times, right? And, you know, ultimately, it all comes down to you. You know, whether you're partnered with somebody or not, whether you've had these experiences or not, it doesn't matter. Ultimately, you are the one that is in control of how you feel. So if you grew up in that kind of environment, if you grew up in that kind of situation where you learned, and it's all learned behavior, okay? It's all learned belief. It's programming. If you learned that you have to do certain things or look a certain way or be a certain way in order to be valuable and worthy of love, that is something you have to look at, you know, and look at where did this come from? You know, was this something my parents instilled in me? And I'm not saying blame your parents or blame outside forces for everything. I mean, we all have programming. Every one of us does. So it's, I'm not saying blame other people, but look at it, be aware of it, recognize that, oh yeah, as a kid, I had to perform or I didn't feel worthy. You know, I had to do this, that, and the other thing, or I wasn't worthy of love. And ultimately that's what it boils down to is, do you feel worthy? Do you feel deserving? Do you feel like this is something that you have to earn? Or is it because you're good enough, I'm inherently deserving, so of course, naturally, love is going to come to me because I deserve it. I am worthy of it. I'm a good person. I, you know, outside of myself, don't have to do a thing, because ultimately, when it boils down to it, when you look at your who you really are as a soul, as an individual being, you are inherently loved, worthy, period. There's nothing that comes after that, you know, but being that we're in this third dimensional reality and we exist on this earth plane, we tend to believe that we have to do things to earn love. And it's just not true.
The, you know, the reason why a lot of times in order to please your partner in the relationship, I was like that before. I'm no longer a pleaser, but to compensate, to buying the love or to compensate something you believe you're inadequate. So by doing something to compensate whatever is missing, right? So a lot of times when you please your partner, to not because this is what makes you happy, but this pleasing behavior is coming from fear, especially because you gotta always be nice and agreeable, blah, 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 so you won't lose this person, right? If your pleasing behavior is coming from that reason, usually try to compensate whatever you believe is missing. Because when you think you're enough just being his girlfriend, you are not going to go extra miles to compensate something. You just be who you are and then provide a giving and receiving relationship according to how you feel comfortable with. And then you automatically think you're giving enough, or, you know, giving, receiving and giving relationship is enough, like you're doing more than enough of your part.
Yeah, and I mean, that's the important thing. I mean, when you look at, I think overall, when it comes to, like, say you're already partnered, and this is the important thing to look at, how are you feeling? How do you feel during the context of a relationship? So say you've been with this person for maybe a few weeks, a few months, maybe a few years. Look at how you're feeling. You know, take a step back and look at what it is that you are consistently thinking about. What are you constantly worried? Are you constantly stressed out? Are you constantly in a state of, you know, wondering what is going on? And I think secure relationships allow space and freedom for you, the partner, meaning not yourself, but the partner, to be able to do things outside of the relationship. You know, they don't have to be with you 24/7. They're allowed to have outside interests and you're comfortable with that. They're allowed to go out with friends and other people that are in their lives, and they're allowed to have that separate from you. So if you find yourself consistently feeling like you need to be with them all the time, you need to monitor their behavior, you need to monitor their whereabouts, you need to constantly need validation from them that they love you, that they think you're beautiful or awesome or whatever it is, you know, that's a problem. And I think people need to take a look at that. And I really believe that there are more people in those kind of situations than they are willing to own up to. Because like I said, that used to be me. You know, I used to constantly be like, my now husband used to be like, I love you, but I never believed him. Like, I truly didn't believe him. When he told me he loved me, I didn't believe it. Because deep down, I had this feeling of, I'm not worthy of love. And when you do that deep inner work, when you really take a good mirror to yourself and reflect on, why am I feeling this way? What is going on within me that is invalidating what they're saying to me? You know, if somebody tells you they love you, why can't you believe it? What's going on within you? You know, what exactly do you believe about yourself? Why can't you believe that they really mean what they say? You know, because we should be able to have the ability to take people at their word. And if you don't trust them, if you don't trust what they're saying, if you don't trust what they say, well, I'm going to be here doing this or whatever. I'm going to be talking to this person or doing this, whatever. If you don't believe them, if you don't trust them, what does that say? Is it really about them or is it about you? Is it about what you believe? Is it about what you think, whether it's from experiences or from your past relationships, showing you that, you know, people aren't trustworthy? So, I mean, it all boils down to, you know, like I said, there are multiple situations. There are obviously multiple experiences. And it may be that someone isn't trustworthy. But look at yourself first. Look at, what do you believe? What do you believe about yourself? You know, what are your triggers? And having that conscious awareness about those things goes so far when it comes to having healthy relationships. Because if you are healthy and you believe in yourself that you are truly deserving of love, that you're okay, that you don't need that outside validation, that you are good enough as you are, that you don't need somebody else to complete you, that you don't need somebody else to constantly, you know, build you up. If you are healthy in your esteem, in your sense of self-esteem, then whatever's going on, you'll have a much greater sense of whether or not they are being truthful, whether they're being honest and legitimate in their actions, words, and deeds. Because when it's not colored by that perspective of, I'm not enough, then you can honestly take a look at them and say, okay, well, maybe they are doing something that's kind of shady. But if you're not good with your sense of self, you can't have that objective opinion and trust that objective awareness. Because if it's being colored at all by a sense of low self-esteem, you can't take that as sincerity. You know, you can't look at that, at their behavior, and be like, oh yeah, well, that's honestly what's going on, because you don't know, because it's probably being colored by your own sense of, you know, unworthiness, if that makes sense.
Yes, it completely makes sense. So, you know, you don't have to be, when you are having a low self-esteem or you think like you're not good enough or lovable, I'm not saying you have to be perfect, you know, until to have a relationship. But to be more of not severe, like severely needing constant assurance or severely need to check like whereabout of your partner. And then when you are observing yourself, and then when you're observing your friend who is healthy and having high self-esteem, and compare yourself with your friends, how your healthy friend is reacting in the relationship. And that gives you another benchmark that, you know, the goal, how you want to be align yourself with. Because, and also, if you can experience a healthy relationship with your healthy partner. So even if you are not as healthy as that person, you will become your like your partner who is healthier than you are, because there's a reason why you liked this person, and some part of him you admire so much. And then while you are having a relationship with this person, part of, even if relationship doesn't work out, part of this person become who you are, and you become part of, you know, this person. And then you will acquire more of the healthy trait of the personality, and you can add more of the best trait or positive trait of the person. And then you can improve your relationship or your personality while you are observing other people or observing your partner, to include that aspect of the person within you. And that's something I would recommend you can do. And that that's what personally I did in my past relationships to become who I am today.
Yeah, that's beautiful and perfect. And I just want to leave people with some things that they can do. So if you find yourself and you kind of evaluate things and you look at yourself and realize, oh yeah, this resonates with me. This sounds like me. I'm this kind of person. I know I have issues when it comes to unworthiness and insecurity. I think there's some great things you can do. And this was brought forward by, who did this? Psychology Today. And they're talking about taking stock in your value. So when you feel insecure, you're often focused on something that you feel is lacking around you. So when you have well-matched relationships, each person, each partner brings different qualities and strengths that complement the other person, right? So it's possible to be equal in different ways. So in order to feel more secure in your relationship, it helps to know what you have to offer the other person. So what is it about you? What do you add to the relationship? What personality characteristics do you bring? You know, what things are good about you that bring to the relationship? So are you trustworthy? Are you funny? Are you a good communicator? Are you really kind? You know, these are things that people value. So what makes your partner's life better? What about you makes your partner's life better? So look at things like that. Build your self-esteem. Building your self-esteem isn't as hard as you think it is. So building self-confidence kind of comes with experience, right? And you can do this by, you know, a couple of ways, but I recommend silencing your inner critic, practicing self-compassion, you know, forgiving yourself, kind of like I said, with the programming, retrain yourself to focus on the aspects of you that you like instead of the things you don't like, right? So we all have things we don't like about ourselves, but so often we are focused on that. Focus on what it is that you like. What do you like about yourself? Another thing, keep your independence. Like I said, a healthy relationship has healthy people. So maintaining your own sense of self-identity, taking care of your own self needs, your own personal well-being. These are keys to keeping any relationship in a healthy balance, right? You don't want to be overly dependent on somebody. Trust yourself. Trust in yourself. Being secure in a relationship depends on trusting the other person, but more importantly, it begins untrusting and learning to trust yourself. Trusting yourself to know that no matter what the other person does, no matter what your other person does, whether it's your partner, love interest, whatever, that you are going to take care of you. Trust yourself to know that you won't ignore your inner voice, your intuition. When something tells you that something isn't right, listen to it. Don't hide your feelings. Trust yourself to make sure that your own needs are met, that you won't lose that sense of self-identity. I can't tell you how many people I've worked with who've been in relationships are like, after they get out of the relationship, they're like, I don't know who I am, because they've completely lost that sense of self-identity. You know, you are still an individual person, regardless of whether or not you're in a relationship. So trust yourself to know that if the relationship isn't working, you'll be able to leave and still be a wholly functioning individual. And when you trust yourself, feeling secure is a guarantee. You know, it's finding that kind of trust in yourself, although it kind of seems difficult. But when you work on that and recognize that you're able to trust yourself, it's amazing how, you know, when relationships end or when you're wrapped up in issues that come up, you're able to kind of have that outside perspective. You know, I trust myself. And that's really important. And it's really important, lastly, I want to kind of conclude with this, but it's important to remember that nobody is perfect, right? We all come with baggage. We all have programming. We all have these issues. We all have beliefs. And it's not necessary to be perfect in order to be in a happy, healthy, secure relationship. But when you take your attention off of what other people think and focus on yourself, that is when you become a better, more secure version of who you're meant to be. So that's kind of where I want to leave it with this conversation. Erica, what do you want to add before we close things up?
Yeah, so when, you know, low self-esteem usually comes from self-doubt, or, you know, some other people, could be like your parents or could be like your childhood friends or whoever when you're little, gave you the negative comment about you, and then you totally buy into it. So you're adult now, and every single time this idea of you're not good enough or whatever, you're not lovable, it's a good idea to ask question, really? How come do you feel that way? And prove yourself why you're not good enough. Maybe you can't really come up with a reason why, because all this belief, negative belief about yourself, you just bought into because somebody else gave you judgmental opinion about you or decided you are this and that. It doesn't come from you. And then also, it's good idea to become your best friend. You are the best friend who can always find your positive trait of yourself, and then being the best cheerleader of your life and whatever you do. And that is not being a narcissist, okay? Narcissist is telling you not to do this because they don't want you to have a self power to believe in yourself. So when you have very healthy relationship to yourself, you are best friend of yourself, and you're always cheering you up.
Well, that wraps things up for this episode. So thank you so much for being here and giving it a listen. I hope you found it valuable. I wanted to share with everyone that I am offering a workshop on this very same topic. It's called Insecurity 101, Why You Can't Find Love and What to Do About It. And it's going to be hosted June 16th and 17th. It will be in a private Facebook group, and it is completely free. And if it's something that you're interested in, if this resonates with you and you find that you yourself are struggling with insecurity in your relationships, or perhaps it's your partner that is, this is applicable to you as well. So feel free to reach out to me. You can message me on Instagram. It is @IAM_TanyaAlberti, and just send me a DM on Instagram and I will send you all the information.
And I would love to have you there. I think it's a very valuable topic, and I'm going to share all kinds of things from how to find love, how to keep love, what your attachment style is, causes of insecurity, how the law of attraction factors into all of this, and so much more. So if that sounds like something you might be interested in, I would love to have you there. So just reach out to me and we'll get you all set up.